This morning we are beginning a new series on this gospel. Those of you who were there last Saturday at the ordination will remember that one of the sections of the service is what is called the defense or the exposition of Reformed Presbyterianism. It's something that happens at every ordination in the Reformed Presbyterian Church. And basically, it's where someone speaks, saying what we are all about as a church. And I'm not the only one who has been ordained in the last few weeks. In the last 2 weeks, I have been to 3 ordinations. I have heard 3 defences of Reformed Presbyterianism. And in every single one, the minister doing it has said, as a church, we are all about Jesus. That's what we're about. And so, what better book for us to go through as a church? The whole Bible is about Jesus, but every week as we go through the Gospel of John, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see him teaching and doing miracles and eventually transforming the whole course of history. So it's a book that is all about Jesus. First of all, this morning, before we even see Jesus, we have these first 18 verses. These verses are very important, because in these verses, John answers a very important question. Very simply, and it's on your notes: can I really trust Jesus? Because as we go through John, we're going to face a massive choice. Will I follow the world, or will I follow Jesus? And John's gospel is written so that we will see that we must follow Jesus. Maybe you could imagine it like this. Suppose I was sick and I'm talking to a doctor, and the doctor says to me, here are some tablets. Take these tablets and you'll be fine. But then I see a second doctor, and the second doctor says, don't even bother with those tablets. They're not going to help. You need to have surgery, and you need it now. Well, I think I would be saying to those doctors, show me your credentials. Show me your medical degrees. Prove to me that I should listen to what you have to say. And that's basically what John is doing here. He knows that the things that Jesus has to say are completely different to what the world has to say. And so John is proving to us that Jesus is qualified to be the Saviour. So we ask this morning, why should I trust Jesus? First reason: because of who he is. Because of who he is. I would imagine that these verses are very familiar to many of us. Problem with familiar verses is we can forget just how incredible they actually are. Verse 1: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John's saying here, you can go back as far as you possibly can. You can go back thousands of years before the human race. You can go way, way back to a time when there's no planet Earth, no solar system, no stars. A time when there is absolutely nothing. And who's there? In the beginning was the Word. John's building his case here for why Jesus is qualified to be the Savior. And he tells us the Son of God is everlasting. He has no beginning. He has always existed with God. But more than that, also verse 1, the Word was God. Sadly, that's not something that everybody gets. I'm sure you've heard plenty of people say, Jesus was a really wise man. Jesus was a good example. Problem is, the Bible tells us that is not enough. You know, thinking back to those two doctors, suppose the second doctor was to say to me, Johnny, you're really sick. You need to let me operate. Well, I'm obviously not going to say, well, okay, since you're such a nice guy, I can trust you to go ahead. Being nice isn't what qualifies someone to be a surgeon. And in the same way, being good or being wise is not what qualifies someone to be a savior. The Bible tells us we are so lost in sin, so hopelessly messed up, that we need more than just an example. We need the Savior. We need someone who can grab us from the verge of hell and deliver us to heaven. We need someone who can stand in the very courtroom of heaven and can say, I have rescued him. I have saved her. And John is showing us here there is one person and one person only who is qualified to be the Savior. And that is Jesus, the everlasting God himself. He is showing us Jesus is qualified to rescue you from sin. Jesus is qualified to deal with your guilt. Jesus is able to guarantee your salvation. And just in case verse 1 isn't enough for that, there's also verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. Who is it who created Jupiter with its 63 known moons? It's the Son of God. Who is it who created the ocean, which stretches down to 36,000 feet? It's the Son of God. It's almost as if John is walking up to the table and he is slamming down Christ's qualifications. And he's saying, look, here is someone you can trust. Here is someone who is powerful enough to create whole galaxies. So therefore, he's powerful enough to save you from sin. Here is someone who is wise enough to design atoms and molecules. So he's wise enough to deal with your problems. Here is someone who can create the whole universe from scratch. So he can fill these empty seats and make the church grow. Here is the everlasting God of all of the universe. So he's big enough to deal with the skeletons in your closet. can I trust Jesus? John says, yes, you can trust him because of who he is. But then secondly, trust him because he became flesh. Trust him because he became flesh. It's an amazing section, but probably the most stupendous verse in the whole section is verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Something that is so incredible that all of history has been divided in two. There is BC and there is AD. There is before verse 14 and there's after verse 14. The Word became flesh. The Son of God became Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that monumental? The one who was there from the very beginning, in verse 1, is born and has a birthday. The one who designed every nerve and every cell of our bodies, in verse 3, has to learn to walk and to speak when he's a baby. The one who sovereignly rules over the whole universe becomes a man. He gets tired. He gets sick and run down. Isn't that incredible? And I think that's something that should tell us, yes, I can trust Jesus. And it tells us that for two reasons. First of all, it shows us just how much he loves us. It shows us Jesus is 100% committed to rescuing his people. It shows us he's not going to say to us, look, I've done my bit, you do the rest. It shows us, even if Jesus, the Son of God, had to become man, even if eventually in John he has to go to the cross, if that's the lengths he has to go to in order to rescue us, that is something he's going to do. Maybe this morning you have your doubts. You doubt whether or not God could ever really love you because you have done some bad things. Think of the love in verse 14 that drove the Word of God to become flesh. Think of the determination that drove Jesus Christ to the cross. And let me ask you, is your sin really so serious that Jesus is just going to give up? So it shows us how much Jesus loves his people. But as well as that, it allows us to see God's glory. We see that in verse 14. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If I could say this respectfully, whenever the Son of God became a man, he had no choice but to put his money where his mouth was. Because for as long as Jesus lived on the earth, everything he did could be examined. People could say, well, he talks the talk, but can he really walk the walk? and they could make a judgment based on what they saw. And even today, as we read through John's Gospel, we can see for ourselves exactly what the Son of God is like. We might ask, is the Son of God really powerful enough to deal with all my problems? And then we read about Jesus walking on water and feeding 5,000. Or we might ask, does the Son of God really care about the bad things that happen to me? And then we read about Jesus weeping at the death of Lazarus. We might ask, does the Son of God really love his people like he says he does? And then we read about Jesus washing the disciples' sweaty feet. We could ask, is the Son of God really as pure and as holy as he says he is? And there's Jesus in the desert being tempted, yet standing firm. We could ask, as we face the prospect either of our death or of a loved one's death, can the Son of God really do anything about this? Can the Son of God really bring me to heaven? And then we read about Jesus rising from the grave. The Word became flesh. And that means in the next number of weeks, as we read through John, again and again, we will see proof that Jesus is who he says he is. So we trust Jesus because he became flesh. Then the third reason why we can trust Jesus, because he gives his people grace. Because he gives his people grace. One of the things that John really loves doing is he takes two things which are opposite and he uses them to paint a picture, and we'll be seeing that quite a few times in this book. But we see it this morning in these first 18 verses. Two opposites, darkness and light. And John shows us sin is like this thick black cloud. It makes us completely blind. That is, until Jesus comes, and Jesus is like a searchlight, and he bursts through the cloud, and he shines his light onto the world. And I think that's a good picture. Darkness is a good way to describe sin. You know, I can remember in the summer, I was at Dartmoor at a conference in Scotland, and one evening I walked down this very rough, fairly twisty path to one of the houses where I had a group of friends who were staying. That was fine. Problem is, I stayed for so long, it was dark by the time that I left. And I mean dark. It was pitch black and there were no lights. And in fact, the only thing I had to help was my phone with its tiny dim screen. And I can remember walking along this path, and I was sort of crouched down like this to try and see the road. And I was thinking to myself, am I even going the right way? Was there a turn that I was supposed to take that somehow I've missed? Is there a ditch that I'm supposed to be watching out for? And earlier on, when I was walking, were there potholes? I can't remember. When it's totally dark, we're lost. And that is something of the picture that John uses. We scramble around, but not in the right direction. We take all sorts of wrong turns. We try perhaps to save ourselves by being good. Or we try and just put it out of our minds and convince ourselves God doesn't really care. And all the while, we think we're going the right way. We think we're going towards heaven, but we're going the wrong way. And we're falling into every ditch and tripping over every bump in the road. We need to see this morning, if we don't trust Jesus, we're in darkness. We are completely without hope. We're asking the question this morning, can I trust Jesus? But you need to see this morning, not only can you trust Jesus, but you need to trust Jesus. Because only Jesus gives light. Only Jesus allows you to see things as they really are. So we trust Jesus because he lifts those who believe from darkness. Another reason to trust, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Well, I spoke to the children about this verse, so I'll not say much, but I do want to say, whatever it is this morning that is worrying you, maybe it's illness, maybe it's a member of your family, maybe it's some plans or some hopes that you have for the future and they're not working out. If you trust in Jesus, you can go straight to your Heavenly Father. Just like those Obama girls, no need to go to the chief of staff, no need to make an appointment. And you can know, if you trust in Jesus, your Heavenly Father will be absolutely determined to do whatever is in your best interests. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, I would love to believe that, but I find it so hard. You don't know what I have done. Why could God ever love me? Why would God answer my prayers? Look at how emphatic verse 12 is. Jesus gave the right to become children of God. If you believe, you have the right to be a child of God. And then finally, we can trust Jesus because he gives us grace upon grace. Verse 16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. And I think the key phrase there is the fullness of his grace. It shows us there is always going to be enough grace because it's from the fullness of his grace. Whenever I read that verse, I imagine the ocean, because there is a fullness of water in the sea. And I imagine a whole bunch of children, let's say 50 children with their buckets and their spades. And each child goes up to the water and he fills up his bucket. And yet, you look at the sea, and it seems exactly as full as it was before. You can maybe imagine, instead of buckets, they bring barrels or even water tanks, and they fill every single one to the brim. And yet, you look at the sea, and there's always enough for the person who comes next. Maybe this morning, things are going all right. And what you need is a bucket of God's grace. Or maybe things are tough and a bucket is just not enough. You need a huge big tank load of God's grace. This verse tells us, because of Jesus, there is always enough. And so we have received blessing upon blessing. Whatever you're facing, let this passage convince you the grace of Jesus is enough. It's the key question this morning. Can I trust Jesus? I think John has shown us, yes, you can trust Jesus. Rather, the question is, will I trust Jesus? Will I live by the light that Jesus brings to his people? Or will I grope around in the darkness? Will I face life by myself? Or will I rely on my Heavenly Father? When life gets tough, will I simply grit my teeth and get on with it? Or will I delve into the fullness of Christ's grace? When it comes to eternal life, will I hope for the best? Will I hope that somehow I have done enough? Hope that somehow I'm not as bad as others, and that's enough? Or will I ask this wonderful, everlasting Son of God to be my Saviour? If you're not yet trusting in Jesus, it's our prayer that the Gospel of John will convince you that you must come to faith in Christ. And if you already do believe, then it's our prayer that this book will strengthen the conviction that you already have. Can I trust Jesus? The Gospel of John says, yes.